It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
As we welcome Eno in, my guess would be that a lot of Padres fans haven't necessarily noticed the drop in offense, simply because the Padres are actually on pace to score more runs than they did last year. I think that's mostly explained through a much higher batting average with runners in scoring position than last year's absurdly low numbers that they put together. But around the league, that's definitely not been the case. And we welcome Eno Saris in from The Athletic for the weekly Smart Baseball. It is very interesting because they've made a lot of rule changes to try to help the offense, and yet offense continues to trickle away.
Yeah, I think that the general trend in baseball, and you can actually point this back to like 1892 or whatever they started playing affiliated baseball, the general trend has been towards run prevention. So the very beginning of baseball, they were like, you know, hey, I would like the ball here. And they just sort of tossed it in. And the point was to put the ball in play and see what happened once the ball was in play, you know. But that's not what people do anymore. Now you got multiple fastballs. And that was a part of our piece where, you know, now there's a huge rise in cutters and sinkers. And not just normal cutters and sinkers, but now they're all averaging 93 and 94. So you got guys with three fastballs. It makes it hard to kind of figure out which fastball. It also means you never have to throw the wrong fastball to the wrong hand. And then you've got pitch design. So no pitcher is really throwing a really terrible pitch. They're kind of, all their pitches are designed up to their max. You've got outfield shifts. Outfield shifts were more effective than infield shifts at removing hits. And short of, you know, spray painting some circles out there, it's kind of hard to do anything about that. So believe me, I'm sure they're considering the spray painting circles. So,
yeah, you have to stay right there.
You have to stay on the DraftKings logo.
Yes, yes, until the ball is actually in the air. Man, that's so interesting. And, you know, I think we're talking about offense being down. You know, for the San Diego Padres is who we mostly cover. They have been a more pleasurable bunch lately, slugging a little bit more, hitting some more home runs. You know, Luis Arraez, I know he's been hurt. He's really, really kind of struggled. It's weird, man. It's weird to see a guy like Luis Arraez. He came, then he kind of jammed his shoulder, and I think that's affected his swing a little bit. But I like how the offense is, everybody's kind of coming out of it a little bit more, and they're starting to hit with a little more pop, which I think makes it feel certainly like the offense is better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a pretty good offense. I was looking at some numbers before the show, and I think it's by, you know, sort of league and park adjusted numbers, I think it's like fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
You know, so, and what I also like about it is it's kind of, it's a balanced offense where you've got your guys that make contact. You know, Donovan Solano is not a big deal, but he's just a guy who makes contact and is better than a lot of people's other bench pieces. You know what I mean?
It's
like, you know, and you've got your guys to make contact. Once Tatis is back in the lineup, Machado looks like he's, you know, getting back to what he used to be. You know, they're your power threats. Then you've got your kind of your two-way threats and Cronenworth and Profar. So, I mean, it's really a nice balanced lineup. And, I have nothing but good things to say about it, especially with Merrill kind of coming into his power, as it seems right now.
Well, you've talked about that. We've talked about that with you for many, many years now, about the Padres needing different looks per se, in their offense. Different shape, swing paths, you know? And it was really easy for pitchers to game plan against the Padres, even last year with an elite hitter like Juan Soto in the lineup, because it just was all the same, essentially. And now it does feel a little bit different, and it certainly looks different, and the brand of baseball certainly feels a little bit better right now.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting that what you brought up about runners in scoring position. You know, you have these traditional luck metrics that you look at when you look at a team quality, and the Padres in the last couple of years have really just been on the wrong side.
Yeah, just unlucky.
Of a lot of these luck metrics. Like, remember the one run thing we talked about for a whole year, the one run game thing. You know, they're on the better side of that now. And then, yeah, the other thing that's like losing one run games, and actually related, of course, to losing one run games, is batting average and scoring position, which is just totally fluky year to year. And so, you know, I guess the one thing that's not fluky about it is if you do add some contact, maybe you help yourself, you know, put some balls in play with runners in scoring position.
You know, there's a quote in your piece, and Woods just mentioned Luis Arraez, and I would imagine he'd be the ball player who was least happy to see this quote that was in your piece with Jason Stark, and it was from George Springer, who said, quote, "Don't put batting average up on the scoreboard anymore. It doesn't mean anything." If batting average simply went away, I'm not sure that anyone would care about Luis Arraez at all.
Unless you watched him play.
I don't know. There's still a lot to what he does, which is, you know, just really great contact. And so we might be talking about someone, you know, oh my God, he's striking out 7% of the time when the league is striking out 24% of the time. You know what I mean? Like, you can adjust that for other league contexts. That's probably the same as somebody striking out 1% of the time, you know, 20 years ago. So, you know, he does have obvious skills outside of batting average, but you know, I think that the reason that quote exists is because, you know, he's struggling. He doesn't want his batting average up there.
Yeah, 195 for George Springer. I wouldn't want it up there either. Yeah.
But also it speaks to the kind of disconnect between front offices and fans, really, because front offices, for the large part, do not care about batting average. I would bet you even if, you know, they acquired Luis Arraez, and they obviously value him, it's not necessarily because of the batting average. It's like, hey, we got this great contact hitter, you know, that we can put in our lineup. So they just speak a different language. Like, the front offices speak a different language than fans. And so Springer was like, if you're just going to put up batting average, you're kind of speaking the old language when front offices don't value that. And that's part of why batting average is down around the league, because teams are saying, well, I value contact, I value power, I value this, and I use different numbers to find those. So you are more likely to see a starting player hit 230 and hit 35 homers and still have a decent OPS because of the slugging, you know, maybe get on base a bunch. That is more of the modern player, and the team itself won't care about his batting average if he's doing all those other things.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the Free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I'll tell you who the modern player then is, because you also tweeted Kyle Higashioka yesterday.
Mama said it.
And if you look at the numbers, Kyle Higashioka has a better OPS and a higher WAR than Luis Arraez, despite less than half the number of at-bats this season. He passed him yesterday with his 2-home-run, 6-RBI game against the Washington Nationals. I know enough, at least from listening to you and baseball experts, Padres can't expect this to continue from Kyle Higashioka. This has been an insane month.
Insanity.
Yeah, but, you know, I tweeted that there's a bunch of Yankees fans who said that they always loved him. I don't know if that's revisionist history, but
probably.
I mean, this he does have the kind of skill set that you want out of a catcher, which is, you know, patience and power. That's the sort of typical skill set out of a catcher, and the catchers are kind of ready to have that skill set because they see so many pitches, you know, and they know the strike zone so intimately that you know, they're kind of set up to have that kind of approach. So I like his approach, and he likes the Western, you know, metal supply building.
He sure does. He wore it out yesterday. Talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic, let's stay on Padres catchers because I brought it up earlier in the show today. I was reminded of one of the first interviews we did with you this season about Campusano, who got off to a really good start defensively and offensively. And you had a conversation with him, Eno, about, hey, man, like, you're hitting the ball, your exit velo is about 70 miles an hour, and he had a comment back of like, I don't care how hard I'm hitting it, as long as they drop. Well, they stop dropping, as tends to do, and you know, I wouldn't say he's in danger of losing his gig, but I think you have to appreciate what Kyle Higashioka has done, and probably he's going to get more reps than he would have, but that was an interesting throwback of him looking at you and saying, I don't care how hard I hit it. I mean, he stopped hitting it, he continued to not hit it hard and didn't get hits.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that does happen with these outside contact rate guys, and that's Campusano has pretty good contact rate. You know, I asked Marco Scudero this once. I said, you know, you lead the league in contact rate, and he goes, yeah, I probably lead the league in bad contact too. And so what'll happen is that you will make contact on pitches that you shouldn't. You know,
Yeah. You'll
make contact on pitches that are outside the zone that don't produce good outcomes. And when you do that, you know, the exit velocity will be lower and the outcomes are worse. So I know he's a free swinging guy that makes a lot of contact, and that's who he is at his core. But any sort of improvement in his play discipline will improve what happens on the balls in play. You know, it's just if you look at like a heat map of like, hey, where's power? It's in the zone, you know. Where are the good hits? Where's the good exit velocity? It's in the zone. So the more he can sort of focus on where his good parts of the zone and in the zone in general, that's his way forward, I think.
You know, Saris from The Athletic is with us. And you know, I know that even numbers can lie and be misleading. There's no perfect stat. There's no perfect data. WAR is a stat that they at least try to put everything together into one number. My eyes have told me that Ha-Sung Kim, after having a great year last year, has just not played as well this year. Just my eyes, my gut tells me absolutely has not played as well. So I just looked at the WAR numbers. Do you know who leads the Padres in WAR this year?
Ha-Sung Kim.
Ha-Sung Kim, 2.1.
He's a Kim.
How is that even possible? I mean, what am I missing here? You know, he's hitting .223. He's got 10 homers, but it's, you know, doesn't lead the team in that category. I know he's a good defender, but he's committed a lot of errors this year, way more than last year. What am I missing that WAR stat is telling me about Ha-Sung Kim?
I guess a couple of things. You know, we started this interview at the top with how offense is down. So you'll probably, if you kind of scan across and see how good his offense is relative to the league, you'll probably be surprised. I don't have it in front of me, but I would guess that maybe
he's like a top seven shortstop offensively, I think, something like that. Way surprising,
right? And he's probably only like 10% worse than league average with the bat. Where you're like, what? That line is 10% worse than league average with that. So that's part of it. Is just like the league offense is so low that you could have a bad looking line and it's actually fine. And then the other part is that, like, you know, errors actually don't factor in to defensive metrics the way that our eyes think they should. You know, we see an error and we go, oh my God, or and we remember the error, you know. Defensive metrics see, oh, maybe he got to a ball that someone else wouldn't have, you know, or, you know, maybe that was a ball that was hit, you know, 125 miles an hour and he wasn't, you know, it's not necessarily his fault that he didn't get to it, basically. And so, you know, the defensive metrics are kind of look at everything in a way that we can't with our eyes. That's why I like metrics, is because they'll remember things that we won't remember.
Yeah.
And so I would assume that his defense is rated as well as last year. Now, one last thing I will say about WAR is that the defensive metrics that are in Fangraphs WAR are probably like not the best defensive metrics. So sometimes if you're looking at a Fangraphs WAR and you're saying that,
I think this is actually B WAR though. That's which one does the ESPN.com use? That's I think that's the B WAR.
Yeah,
isn't
even
it?
Yeah. B WAR. Like both of those guys, I think that the best defensive metrics are the ones on Baseball Savant. I wouldn't be surprised though if Kim was good there too. So
yeah,
you know,
I just looked.
Saying,
yeah.
What
they are? They're good.
Yeah. So yeah. So I mean, I think he's just a really good defender whose offense looks worse than it is. And so he's still a valuable player. I am interested to see what this offensive downturn does, you know, on the market for him next year and how much he can get it back going again. I do think he can get it back going offensively. And the nice thing about this lineup is like people have been hot at different times. That's another part of chaos and luck. You know, sometimes your team is just everyone's bad at the same time and everyone's good at the same time. And this team so far has kind of had different people step up at different times. And so Kim's struggles haven't been as important, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe there'll be like a 3-week stretch where you're like, ah, it's Kim's time, you know?
That's how I see it. We only have 2 minutes left. I wanted to ask you quickly about the traject machine, but I guess we'll wait until next week because
I did want to ask
minutes,
about
Ben
that
means
too.
30 seconds.
Ben,
I did want to.
Ben teased it, and we never got to it. You had
seen one of those earlier. It's basically a pitching machine that replicates the pitches and deliveries of pitchers,
yeah.
So you know players can get that look at least going into an at bat. But yeah, we'll save that for
next week
for another day.
Yeah, and I just dropped a trade deadline piece of what arms are available.
Ooh.
Arms and bats are available.
Need to read that one.
Deadline.
Look at
and
you.
And I've got a big piece coming up tomorrow. So next week, we'll have a couple of topics to talk about.
Excellent. Let's do an hour next week, Eno.
Thank you, Eno.
Okay.
All right. Later,
Eno Saris from The Athletic, our weekly Smart Baseball segment, brought to you by 7 Mile Casino.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.